Take your Bible, turn to the book of Luke, Luke chapter number 1. If you look at this verse, it says to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. We talked about that some on Sunday. We'll talk about that again. But then it says this, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. I love how that says that, amen. The disobedient. Well, who are they disobeying? Well, God, amen. They're disobeying their creator, the one that has set all law in motion. The reason we even have natural laws is because we are actually made decently and in order. And scientists and others, they rely upon that order so that they can predict and all these different things. But I love how this says this. It says the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. Amen. We who are just, justified, we ought to walk in such a way that people see that there's an order to our lives. There's a reason why we do things. I'm not envious of the lost. I don't know about you. If you're a Christian, you're envious of the lost. You done bumped your head. Amen. You got something wrong. No, God far exceeds, exceedingly and abundantly. He's well above anything on this earth. Amen. And so there ought to be a wisdom about us. That wisdom means that we've gotten into the Word of God and we found some truth in there, then God has given us the ability to apply that truth to our lives in that wise way, amen? And that's what the Christian life is all about. We've been born again. We've been plucked out of the fire, hallelujah. And now we can actually, we're created now unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And so now as believers, we preach the gospel, but yet we also live the gospel, right? We live that life that's delivered from this world, delivered from the garbage of this world. We ought to absolutely be that epistle that others read just in life. And yay, of course, also opening our mouths. Really, if you're not living for Christ, you can open your mouth and tell others about Christ, but it just doesn't mean a whole lot because it's just a bunch of lip service. It's just words if our life hasn't actually been affected by that same message that we are preaching. But it says here, the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. Say, well, who is disobedient? Well, the lost are definitely disobedient. They've rejected Christ, and the very heavens declare the glory of God, and they're rejecting even that little bit of light that they've been given if they're still lost to this point. So they're disobedient in that aspect. But can I say there's a lot of professing believers that are disobedient to the faith and disobedient to the things of God. And can I say that if you're not living right by God, you're living in disobedience to God. And don't think that God's just going to turn a blind eye to that. Amen. If you read on over there in Hebrews 12, you'll find very, very quickly that if you actually have a father in heaven and your father's not the devil, amen, but actually God himself, if that be the case, he's not just going to leave you alone. He's not going to let you just wallow out there in your sin and not do anything to draw you back unto him. No, my friend, he's gonna do some chastening. That chastening is to bring about righteousness in your life again, to make you chaste, amen. Chastening, he's gonna disciple you, amen. He's gonna bring you back, if you will. He's gonna do some things there to show you that you're wrong, amen. I'm thankful for loving parents that actually take it upon themselves to be an active part of their children's lives, to show them when they're wrong, to not be afraid of their children, but to lead them and guide them in the paths of righteousness, amen. And we find that the disobedient, by John here, he's going to turn the hearts of the father to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. And that's what God's word does. When we preach Christ and we preach the word of God, we preach Jesus to people, they are confronted with that wisdom of the just, that wisdom of God. And that is by the very mercy of God that this is even happening. But notice it says that last phrase, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Amen. That's powerful. Just being a church that preaches truth, you know, that readies people's heart to receive the gospel. Your family that might not be saved yet, you live that truth and you speak that truth. And it might be a while, but that word as it goes forth, it prepares those people to receive the word as it comes. Just tremendous here. And of course, all this was fulfilled through John the Baptist. Very powerful, amen. And I want to continue on with this thought as we look at a couple things here this evening. Look over at Matthew 6, and then we'll run over to Colossians 1. Matthew 6 and then Colossians 1. Now, John is very encouraging to us today. Again, just to keep the main thing the main thing. Christianity is not complex. It's very simple. You know, we looked last Sunday a little bit about that need of Christ first in our lives. We're going to touch on that again. I want to read Matthew 6 first to make a couple of, give a couple of thoughts on this. It says in verse number 32, it says, "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek." And the Gentiles seek a lot of things, some similar things as far as monetarily things that we would seek in a common sense, but there's a purpose that's different. The reason we do things is a lot different than the reason that the world does things, but the world is seeking. They're seeking finances. They're seeking a home. They're seeking maybe a boyfriend, girlfriend, spouse. They're seeking a career. They're seeking these things. But can I say they're seeking it because that is their life. They're seeking these things that they think somehow, some way is going to bring them fulfillment and going to bring them happiness and somehow satisfy that inner desire that's within them. But can I say, as a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, I've already had that inner desire fulfilled through the person of Christ. There was a chasm within me. There was a hole, if you will. And when I got saved, it got filled, amen. Jesus filled that. And now I am content in Him. And I'm complete, if you will. I'm okay passing on at any point now. Why? Because I'm ready, amen. Well, the lost, they're not ready. And they're trying to fill their lives with all these things. They're looking for that dream of theirs to be fulfilled because they need just one more fix. They may not be a drug addict, but they're high on other things, right? They're high on maybe having a raise, or they're high on getting a promotion, and they're high on a pat on a back. They're high after these things, you see. And so this is what the world is seeking. The world is seeking the pat on the back, the applause of men, the reward that is only earthly. And yet you and I who have been born again, we're past that now, amen. We've tasted and we know that the Lord is gracious, amen. And so all that now is for the most part set aside for us as we serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But it says, "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." That's talking about the house, the clothes, the money, all that. God knows what we have need of, but verse 33 gives us a principle. And it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." I mentioned a minute ago that God is a God of order. If you go up to a soda machine, I don't know why you'd want to, but if you did, and you put a couple of bucks in there to get yourself some beverage out of there, and that machine says out of order, what does that mean? Dana says it's going to be a bad day. I would say you just got healthier that day. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. The Lord somehow just kept you from one day less on earth. Amen. So, but ultimately what it means is that machine is broke. It might take your money, but you're not going to get yourself out of soda. Does that make sense? It is out of order. Can I say God has created life to work when it's in order? And when our lives are out of order, even if you're a Christian, your life just won't work. It's frustrating. It feels meaningless. You might even say, what's the purpose? Spinning my wheels. Feel like nothing's being accomplished. You're out of order. You might find yourself in depression. You might find yourself crying yourself to sleep. You're not sure why everything's a wreck in your life. And can I say as a believer, the only reason that's the case is your life's just out of order. Amen? And it's the wisdom of the just. It's the wisdom of the justifier, amen, Christ, that will put your life back in order. And when our life is put back in order, it works. Amen? And so this passage says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God." Not second. We don't serve God second, third, fourth. No, we serve Him first. We seek God's word not when everything else fails. We seek God's wisdom and word first. That's what we do as believers. That's the order. That's the proper order that God has given to us. Can I say that in reference to our context with John the Baptist, where he said that he would turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers and the fathers back to the children, as that was written there in Malachi. Note this, that children don't need school primarily. They need Jesus. I'm all for schooling. I'm all for teaching our kids, you know, of course, read. You've got to read the Bible. Math, amen. Got to learn math. Science, history. These classes are all important. But can I say, they don't mean anything if Jesus isn't first. Does that make sense? Jesus is first. Children don't need sports primarily. They need Jesus. Jesus is before sports. Does that make sense? Before sports. Children don't need music lessons primarily. And we offer that here. A lot of people take music lessons through our church. But the primary thing they need is Jesus. And if it means that your relationship with Christ diminishes because of any of these things that are mentioned, then you ditch those things so that you can focus on the primary thing that we focus on in life, and that's Jesus. I would even go as far as to say, you don't need a job first. You need Jesus. And if your job is keeping you from being faithful, I'd ditch it and just go ahead and say, but what? Well, this passage promises that all these things the Gentiles seek, right? Which was all the temporal needs that we have. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all of these things, God will make sure all those things are added unto us. Can I say, you don't need friends primarily. It's not first. You need the friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and his name is Jesus. Someone says, I don't have any friends. I don't know why you'd want to insult Jesus that way. If you're a believer and you say you don't have any friends, you're insulting the best friend any of us have. His name's Jesus, and that's enough. Anything else is just, it's just bonus. Amen? Children don't need video games primarily. They need Jesus. A lot of those things are distracting to us. Isn't it amazing if we would just evaluate our life? Isn't it amazing how often Jesus has to take the back seat? How everything else in our world is more important than Jesus. And yet the Bible says if we want our life to be in order, he has to be first. Isn't that interesting? I wonder if that's why so many people struggle in life, especially those that claim Christ as their Savior. We don't need social media primarily. That definitely shouldn't be first. Jesus must be first. You see, this is the order that God has given to us. The heart of the Father, as was mentioned in our text. Can I say the heart of the Father and Mother? If you're going to turn the hearts of your children to the Father to the children, if that's going to happen, it's going to be because we live out this order in our lives. And if you think you can have this part out of order and you raise a godly seed, you're crazy. It will not happen. I think a clean house is important. But can I say Jesus is more important than that? Amen. Everything. I'm telling you, Jesus, he is to have the preeminence. Look over at Colossians 1 for this. It gives a great order on this. Amen. John the Baptist teaches us how to get the hearts of the children in proper order. And oh, how we need that in our day. Amen. But can I say the children's hearts will not be towards their earthly father or heavenly father if we as the adults mess this up. Amen. So how do I know if my life's out of order? Ask someone around you. Ask someone close to you and say, do you believe my life's out of order? Do you think Jesus is first in everything? And just listen. And don't be upset if they tell you something you might not want to hear. Why? Because we care. We want this. Amen. We have to. Otherwise, our life will be out of order. Colossians chapter 1 and in verse number 16. It says, for by him, it's Christ, the word of God, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and, what is that? For him. You believe that? Do you realize we exist for him? Amen. By the way, if that upsets you, your life's out of order. I exist for his glory. And I'm okay with it. Matter of fact, I'm glad for that. Amen. I have purpose. Amen. I have a purpose to bring Christ glory. Amen. And God the Father, that's awesome. It's wonderful. Amen. And it's a good thing. But look what it goes on to say in verse 17. And he, this is Christ, is before all things. Now, it says all things there. Do you think that really means all things? I do too. Amen. I think it does that. By context, that's what I'm talking about. Because he just mentioned all the things that were created. And he mentioned everything, whether visible or invisible, thrones, dominions, anything. Whether it's just talking about something tangible, or whether it's a power, an authority, a structure, all things were made by him and for him, right? And then he says, and he is before all things. That means he's before us. He's before everything. He's before our meals. You say, does the Bible say we have to pray before our meals? No, there's a couple different times, principle-wise, where some people, sometimes they were prayed after. Sometimes it was before, gave thanks, different things. But I personally like to stop before I eat and give thanks because he's before food. I'm going to thank him. It's a principle that I need to hold to and that my children need to understand. You see, a lot of things that I do because there's an example being given. And you could say, well, do I really have to? No, you don't have to breathe either. Amen. If we're really going to boil it down, amen, you don't have to breathe if you don't want to. Stop it. Amen. But no, we don't have to do some of these things. But there's a reason we do them. It establishes a principle and an order for others to behold. Say you're a restaurant. Yeah, I don't like to pray when I'm in a restaurant. People think you're weird. Hallelujah. They might actually think, oh, wow, look at that. Them people are praying over there. While you're at it, pray out loud. Amen. Let people hear your prayer in a restaurant. You say, yeah, I don't want my waiter or waitress to wait. No, let them wait right there while you're praying. It's fine. You see, why? Because they're seeing something. They're seeing, here's some people that actually, they're not like ashamed to pray in public. It's almost like God's important to them. You see, it's establishing something. You see, he is before all things. And by him, all things consist. We're going to mention that here in a second. Verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. We're talking about an individual. We're talking about a body as in a church. No matter what we're talking about, he is at the head. He is the beginning. And by him, all things consist. I love verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. You know what that means? There is not an activity that you and I engage in as believers that he should not be the head of. Amen? I like it. Consider this. If you listen to this passage, Jesus is before all things. Say, what does that mean? He's first in our lives. First. Not second. Not third. First. By Jesus, all things consist. He's the glue. He's the glue that holds it all together. And if Jesus isn't the glue that's holding your life together, it's falling apart. There is no other glue. People try friends to be the glue. Friends will fail you. It'll fall apart. People try money to be the glue. All it needs is more money. Now, you get a little more money, and then you just use it to get yourself in more trouble, and then it falls apart, right? People try drugs. I just need, you know, a relief. I just need to go out and drink, amen, so I can let go a little bit. That's going to be the glue that holds my life together, only to find out that all that does is cause wreck and ruin in your life, right? People think, oh, I know what I need. I need a really good job. That'll be the glue for my life to hold it together. Then you find out, and I got myself a really good job, and now I'm just as empty as I was before, and now I'm even more busy. You see, it fell apart. People try all kinds of things. Oh, I just need to get married. That'll be the glue that holds my life together. You marry the wrong person, it's more of a nightmare, amen, than it is. It won't hold together. It'll blow everything up, amen. If you like dynamite, go ahead and marry the wrong person. Right? People are like, oh, I know what I need. We just need to have kids. That'll be the glue that holds us together. Huh. Rachel, is that right, how it works? Huh. No. Do you realize a lot of midlife crises, they happen as the kids are getting out of the home, and mom and dad look at each other and say, who are you? It's just you and me now? Oh, no. Right? And they've done, wore themselves out with the kids. They've done put 500,000 miles on their car running back and forth to sports. They've done everything they could to make the kids happy. They've done everything for him. It's all been about the kids. The kids have been the glue. The glue's gone. They don't even know each other anymore. On and on and on. The glue can only be Jesus. Amen. You seek in. By the way, the church isn't the glue. Jesus is the glue. Amen. Church is great. People get addicted to clubs and churches and all kinds of things, and then something will happen. They'll be disappointed. They'll get blown out because some man or some organization or some was the glue. Our glue is not other people. It's Jesus. He's the glue, you see, because by him all things consist. He must be first. He is the glue. I like how it says he is the head of the body. That means he calls the shots. Do you want your life in order? Let Jesus call the shots. Just go ahead and lay down on the altar. Amen. Be that living sacrifice for God, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Sounds like he's supposed to be the one in charge. Amen. And that's the order that John gives us. That's the order that Paul, through to the church of Colossae, gives us. Amen. He's first. He's the glue that holds it all together. He's the one that calls the shots. And can I say, if you order your life outside this order, it cannot work. Be just like everybody else, a mere mortal. Amen. But if you live this way, you'll live a supernatural life on earth that others will look at and be forced to give God glory for. Amen. He is the beginning, it said in our text. In other words, everything starts with Jesus, or it doesn't start. You can try to start something without Jesus, but it's just going to spit and sputter. It's not going to run real well, amen, and it eventually is just going to stall out. Jesus has to be the beginning of all things. He's the firstborn from the dead. You know that when you get Jesus involved in something, he's really good at raising dead things. Breathing a life into them. Amen? So if you got something going on that's died, get Jesus involved. Stop trying to get the world involved or other means or mechanisms. Get Jesus involved. It might need to stay dead. Some things need to die. Some things need to be revived. But let Jesus make that determination. Amen? How about he is the, in all things it says that he is to have the preeminence. Means that Jesus is first, and he must be the preeminent one, meaning that others need to see it. He's the first that others see. He has the preeminence. Amen. In other words, he goes before us. He's not first as in the background. A lot of people are ashamed of Jesus. Like, oh, I want all those bennies of Jesus because I want salvation. And when I need money, I want to be able to rub my Lord's head real good and say, oh, please grant me a couple wishes here. I mean, I want God for those things, but I just don't want others to know that I like Jesus. No, he's to be at the forefront. He is to be the preeminent one. He's the one we follow. He don't follow us, we follow him. He is to be first, amen. Can I say that this includes in our spirit and attitude? He's to be first. He's to be the one that calls the shots, and he's the one that's supposed to be the glue and the one that sets things in order, even in how we take things, even in how we respond to things, even to how I approach things and approach people. He must be first in my attitude. He is the head of all things. Jesus must be first in all things, seen and unseen. So I ask this question. Is Jesus first when it comes to your job? If he gave you that job, it shouldn't be a big deal if he's first. Amen? Whether he takes it away or changes it or does anything with it. Right? It's not a big deal. Amen? Is he first in your personal hygiene? Are you as clean as God wants you to be with your personal hygiene. Amen? It's no big deal. He should be first there. How about your hobbies? Is he first in your hobbies? Is he first? All four hobbies, Jesus at times would tell the disciples to go, hey, take a break. Amen? Go hop on that boat. Go out for a cruise for a little bit. Amen? You need to rest. All for it. But Jesus has to be the one calling the shots there. How about in our desires? Is he first in our desires? Amen? Is he first, for some of the young people, is he first in the cleaning of your bedroom? Is your bedroom, is it controlled by Christ? I mean, is it as he would want? See what I'm saying? Is he first in these things? Is he first when it comes to the foods we eat? Is he first? Is he first in what we consume? Is he first in those things? Is he calling the shots in those things? You see, is he first in our health decisions? Amen? Is he first? Some of you guys look like you have an indigestion right now. Amen? If that's the case, you need to get your life in order. Because it's not going to work well as long as you're calling the shots. As long as it's all about you and you have the preeminence of your own life and that you're the glue that holds your... It doesn't work well. Is he first in your finances? Is he first? The Lord really wants you to go in debt for that new toy. Is he first? Right? These are important decisions. And even if you have the money, just because debt isn't always the issue, you might spend wrongly and it wasn't debt. Is he first in those things? Is he first in reference to how you take care of your things, like your car, like your other personal belongings? Is he first? Is just asking the question. Is he, for us adults, is he first in the schooling of our children? Is he first? Do we consider him first before we consider the child? We don't consider the child first. We consider Christ first as the one who's over that child. He's first in everything. Are you getting what we're seeing here from John? Jesus is first in everything. Is he first in what we wear? He has to be first. Go into your closet room or open the doors to your closet. It's the first question should be, what do I want to wear today? That shouldn't be what you say. What does the Lord want me to wear today? He's first in these things. You see what I'm saying? Where you go. It's not where do I want to go today, it's where would the Lord have me to go today. He's first in everything. In what music we listen to, is he first in that? Is he first in your music selections? Is he first when there's people around you that need Christ? Are you asking him, God, is there someone here you want me to talk to? Is he first in these things? Is he first in your driving habits? Amen? We all have to answer these questions. Amen? Is he first in our involvement as a church member? Is he first? If it's the Father that sets the one, everyone in the body as it pleases him, and we're all here with purpose and position, then are we following Christ in reference to what our job is? We have to ask these questions, and hopefully you can answer that. Amen? In your ministries, no matter what they are, is it about Christ? Is he first? Is he first in your Bible reading and Bible study? Do you know a lot of people read their Bibles, but it's not initiated by Christ. It's initiated by themselves. It's, I have to check this off. I have to get through this, or I'm too busy for this. It's me, 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 instead of, God, what would you have me to do in reference to the Bible today? Where should I be? What should I read? What would you have me to? Jesus has to be first in all of these things. When you're on vacation, is he still first? I mean, you're not in your own local area. You're probably not going to bump into the pastor or somebody else out and around. Amen. Maybe you would, but no, most likely not. But are you still following Christ's lead when you're in a place that you don't think anybody else is? Is he first there too? Is he first at home? Is he first? Is he first in your friendships and relationships? Is he first? Does he have the preeminence? Is he the glue in your life? Is he the one that sets everything in order? Or is it just you and then you say that it's him? You see, We have to answer these questions, you see, because if we get this wrong, then we don't turn the hearts of anybody towards their authorities or to God. You see, that was the issue with John the Baptist. He turns the hearts to the Father, to the children, the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. I think if you look around, the earth's been smitten a little bit with some curses. You can be immune to that if you set your life in order. If you set it right by God, then all these things won't be put on you, you see. But is he first? Only you can answer these questions. John the Baptist, can I say he was sort of addicted to the ministry, amen? He absolutely was. He totally gave himself. It was obvious that John the Baptist enjoyed the ministry that God gave him. Totally enjoyed it. Amen. I mean, I'm sure he enjoyed calling out the Pharisees and all that. Bring forth fruits, meat for repentance. I mean, it's just a hoot. Amen. To be John the Baptist in those days and to turn the Pharisees away and to see everyone else coming and excited about the people that want to be baptized there under repentance, under Christ's coming. Amen. John took the ministry seriously. And I don't find anywhere that he complained about it. I just don't see it. Amen. It's not recorded that he complained about it. John lived out his faith and he preached passionately as he turned the hearts of others toward Jesus Christ. Amen. So what or who are you turning people to in your life? You see, if John the Baptist, we're just studying him a little bit with this text. If in his passion and in the spirit that he was given there of God, the spirit of Elijah the prophet, and the job he was given was to turn hearts unto their God-given authorities and unto God himself. If he was doing that, and we see these attributes in him, and we see the preeminent aspect, and then, of course, cross-referencing that with John, and we look, I just ask the question, are you seeing this kind of success in your life? Am I? We need to ask this question, and then if we're not, is it possible because our lives are out of order and that Christ really isn't at the top? Some fear is at the top. Can I say, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Jesus must be at the top. He is first, and he is the glue that holds it all together. And he must have the preeminence. He's out front. We're following. And everything we do, no matter what, First Corinthians where it says that whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Is that our lives? Are they in proper order? Because if they're not, we're actually going to turn people's hearts away from God. We're going to turn people's hearts away from their God-given authorities. We're going to kind of repel people from God instead of seeing them drawn to God, you see. We have to be in order so that our life can work for God. We have to be in proper order so that our life can become everything that God would want it to be. If it's out of order, it would be wrong for God to do a work in our life that would actually be as if it was in order. Do you see that? If God blessed our lives as if they were in order and they're not in order, that would be out of the character and nature of God to do so. And if we're praying for that, we're praying for something that just can't happen. Does that make sense? Say, what do I do? Man, we got to make sure Jesus is first in everything. And if he's not, then you need to repent of taking that seat from Christ. You need to remove yourself from that and ask him to sit back in that preeminent spot. And if you'll do that, you'll begin to see your life operate in order. Amen. God, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this time together. I pray, God, that you might use this message to be a help to each of us, God. God, there might be some here tonight that have a lot of things in order, but just as I was mentioning things, and maybe, God, you were mentioning things to others, Lord, as I was mentioning things, and God, it might be that you called someone's attention to something tonight that's just out of order. I think of sometimes we complain and we murmur and we throw a fit over things that, God, really, it's just us complaining about you. And Lord, though we go through hard times and we have challenges in life, I'm reminded of James who told the tribes that were scattered abroad there to count it all joy when they're falling into diverse temptations, knowing that the trying of their faith will work patience, and that they're to let that happen, let patience have her perfect work, that they would be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That wanting nothing, lacking nothing happens when our lives are in order. It's as if James was telling them that as much as they were doing for the cause of Christ, if that joy wasn't present, that their life was out of order, and that they needed to get Christ back in that right spot so that then they could receive from God what was needful for life and ministry. God, help us with this. God, help us as we attempt to turn people's hearts to you. Help us, God, as we try to see people saved and see saints edified, Lord, and grown up in the faith, and seeing children's hearts turned unto their parents and ultimately unto Christ. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help us with this, God, and to see that there's an order that we're to live. And Lord, if we don't, it's really not a right thing to pray and ask that you'll give us what we would get if they were in order in the first place. Oh God, help us with this. Help us, Lord, to live a life that's proper and right, so that God, you can flow through us and do an amazing, amazing works through our lives and many people being helped, Lord. Might you bless this night now. Take the message, use it for your glory, I pray in Jesus' name.